To say the minhag to say machar chodesh. Now it is true that there is a new minhag, and it's new, but it's a minhag which was not in practice years ago, where if you lane from a chumash, the article made this popular. So when you finish the haftorah of the haftorah that we will read tomorrow of ania soyara. You'll then delane one pasuk from Machah Chodesh. Delane the first pasuk of Machah Chodesh to remind people that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, even though in a few moments they're going to say Berachas HaChodesh. Now that can only be done if you're learning the Haftarah from a Chumash, but if you're learning the Haftarah from Klaf, then you're not allowed to, that it's mamish forbidden. You're not allowed to take out another haftorah. Machah Chodesh is in Shmuel. You can't go take out another Navi when you're learning from Yeshaya. You're learning from Yeshaya, there's no way you can then switch in the middle and take out the Navi of Shmuel. So then you don't have an option. You cannot go and switch over to Machah Chodesh. Okay, that's just a halachic, whatever. That is just the point, the Mir Shem. So we're coming with the Elul. El is coming up on Sunday, Rosh Chodesh is Sunday and Monday, and we begin the 40 days, a 40-day process, going from Elul into the 10 days of the Aseres to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and then even further, all the way until the end of Sukkot, all the way until Shmini Aseres. All of that begins on Sunday. Shofar, we blow on Monday. You do not blow shofar on Sunday, you blow shofar on Monday. At least that's the more common minhag amongst us. This week's parasha, as we...
When does L'David Ari begin?
Monday. L'David Ari always goes together with shofar. And since
Sunday night, in other words.
Sunday night, if you daven Ashkenaz. If you daven Nusach Sfard, then you say L'David Hashem Ari by Mincha. Okay, so there are a whole different shmooze, a whole story, why this, that. It's really for the end of the day. Really, it should be, it depends when you daven Mincha. The truth is, really, it should be when you daven Mincha. If you daven Mincha early, then you should not say it, even if you're svart. If you daven Mincha late, at Shkia, then you should say it. So typically, being that it used to be Nusach Svart, wouldn't even be a Havamina, they would daven Mincha early. Nusach Svart would always daven Mincha with Shkia, so they would be saying L'David Hashem Oiri at night. Litvaks, the cult of Litvaks, they daven mincha gedoyla. They don't have any problem with this. They daven mincha early, so then they can't say l'david Hashem by mincha. So they have no choice but to say it by ma'arif. But let's say a litvak would be davening a mincha at shkia, even Ashkenaz, he should really say l'david Hashem oiri. And if someone who davens nusach svar would be davening mincha early, then he should not say it. He should say it instead by ma'arif. All right, that's a different story. Now, for now, let's learn over the pasuk 8. It's a very simple vart, but I believe in this vart with my full heart and soul. I believe it to be Torah's emes. What I'm about to tell you, it's a very short vart. What exactly is bracha uklala? Ask the average person, I give before you today bracha uklala. What is bracha? So ask around, go walk down the street and ask a person, can you please tell me, what do you, it says in the parasha, see, I present before you blessing and curse. Es habracha, how will you merit to receive the blessing? How what does one do in order to be worthy of receiving Hashem's blessing? Asher tishnu'u, if only you will listen. El mitzvois Hashem Elokeichem Asher Anochi Mitzave Eschem Hayoim. Only if you will observe and listen to the commandments, the commandments of Hashem that I present to you today. V'haklala. How does one go about, unfortunately, being a recipient of curse? Imlois Yeshu El mitzvois Hashem Elokeichem V'sartem Nadech Asher Anochi Mitzave Eschem Hayoim Nolechas Achal Elohim Achmash Lo Yidatem. Okay, very simple. The question over here is, okay, fine. So there's something bracha and there's klala, and the pasuk goes on to tell us what you need to do to be worthy to receive bracha, what a person should not do in order that he did not come upon him. But what is bracha? What is klala? Define bracha and klala. Take a poll. You go down the street. Stop people. So that someone will tell you, bracha, you know what bracha is? Good health. Good health. If you have good health, you got it all. 100%. Someone else will tell you, bracha, you're Yoreh Shemayim. Person, what's the purpose of this world? The purpose of this world is to do mitzvahs, not do averos. You know what bracha is? You should be inspired to develop and to nurture your Yirah Shemayim. Someone else will tell you, what is bracha? Money. Money. Money is not everything. Money is the only thing. If I have money, I can do mitzvah. You imagine in your mind, I can go do mitzvahs. I can do chesed. I can, who knows, with money I can do every. Bracha is cash, no credit. Bracha is money. Someone else will tell you, bracha, bracha. Everyone has in their mind different ideas. Bracha, children. To have children. Or bracha, good children. Everyone will tell you something different. Health, children, parnasa, just a peace of mind. Yishuv hadas. I shouldn't have daigus, shouldn't have worries. Just leave me alone. That's a tremendous bracha. Just be able to relax. Peace of mind. You shouldn't be overwhelmed with what's going on everywhere. Every single person is going to give you a different definition of what resonates with them as being defined as bracha. But guess what? They're all wrong. I shouldn't say that. I don't mean to say that. That's not what the pasuk here says. The pasuk is a study that is so profound and it is so true. It says, Es ha-baracha. Okay, what is bracha? So Rashi doesn't comment. Go further. Then it's the haklala. And then we go further. The pasuk chav tes. But the pasuk continue. First, it gives you a general overview. Re'ei no sa'ati lifteichem ayom es ha-baracha v'yas haklala. Es habracha im sishmu a klolim loy sishmu and now chavtes pasuk chavtes perik dafos chavtes v'chayor ki yivyachol Hashem lokech el oritz asher atov v'shem lirishta. Now we're explaining what the bracha is. V'nosata, you shall deposit es habracha al har grizin, and you shall deposit v'eschaklol har evil. Now that doesn't make any sense, by the way. According to what we've just said. Because if you're going to tell me that bracha means peace of mind, it means good children, good health, Yirah Shemayim, or if you prefer, just cash, what is that? What over here, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, here, I'll take a satchel of good health and put it down on the mountain. It's ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense. So what does it mean? So Rashi tells what it means, and he tells the Targum. And he says something which you just gloss over, you lose the whole point. But it's mamish everything in life. Es habracha, you don't kitar gumo, yos mivorchaya. And he translates for us, just in case you don't know what those words in Aramaic mean. Es hamivorchim. People, the people who will utter, who will express, who will articulate the blessings. Bracha here is not an object. It's not a concept. It's not health. It's not children. It's not Yirah Shemayim. You know what bracha is? People. Human beings who are positive. Who have the ability to open their mouth and say something nice. And say to you, may Hashem bless you. May Hashem give you everything that you need. Human beings who have a positive attitude, who have a perspective of life that is in line with the Torah, who are people who are worthy to bestow blessing. If you have in your myths, in your family, in your community, in your environment, good people. People who, when they see you, they say, hello, how are you? How are you feeling? It is my sincere wish that everything should go your way. Hashem should make you happy, should make you successful. Hashem should give you good health. And unfortunately, the people who they're wishing these blessings on are not happy. They got a lot of problems. And they have problems to which there are no solutions. It doesn't matter. The fact that there are people in your community, in your environment, that say hello to you and have an optimistic view of life and are filled with Yirah Shemayim and bless you, even if the blessings are impossible to come true, even if the blessings are total nonsense, because you're not a doctor, you're not a surgeon, you can't go do this, but they convey goodwill, it's a different world. That is bracha. Bracha is not money, success, fame, Yerushalayim. That's not bracha. Bracha is yos mivorchaya. People who are in a frame of mind who have a desire to bless, to be in an environment of chashuva people. If you're in an environment of good people, no matter what is happening in the world, even if the world is coming to an end, you have bracha. You have bracha. Because you can't control this world. Everyone is born, it is what it is. Everyone knows that it is what it is. What are you going to do? You're going to change the world? How much already could you change? What can you do already? You just have to follow the rules, right? Stay, you go on the train. You know what life is all about? It's like you go on the train. Probably no one goes on the train anymore. Stand clear of the closing doors. This is life. This is the whole life. There's a machine talking to you. Stand clear of the closing doors. Just move inside or outside. Just get out of the way, whether you like it or not. And then the doors close. That's life. You don't got a choice. Stand clear. That's the whole mushel of life. So what makes life good or bad? Bracha or klala? If the people on the inside of the train or on the platform are good people, that's called bracha. If the people on the inside of the train are nutcases,
and they're
cursing you, you got a big problem. If the people are nice, good people who seek your good and welfare and your success and your happiness, that's life. That is a life of bracha. Es ha-bracha. Rashi says the Targum got it right. Okay, you know, this Targum we learn in the afternoon. And we learn, so we always, our principle, driving principle is Rashi, and this is you cannot convince me otherwise, we've already seen this a thousand times over. Rashi wrote a Sefer on Unkelus. Rashi did not write just a Sefer. Oh, I'm going to write a Perish on Chumash. That is false, fake news. They never taught this to us in elementary school. Rashi wrote a commentary on Unkelus. He read the pasuk, he read Unkelus. If Unkelus, he felt what Unkelus said is correct, he let it go. He has nothing to comment. If Unkelus said something with Rashi disagrees, he says, he basically writes, you're wrong. I mean, sometimes he says you're outright wrong, and sometimes he just totally ignores. The greatest way of saying you're wrong is by ignoring Unkelus. That's like the ultimate insult. You totally, I know what it says in Unkelus, but I'm telling you the real truth. You don't even acknowledge. That's the greatest insult in life. Just to make believe you don't exist. When Rashi says something different than Unkelus and doesn't even acknowledge that Unkelus said the opposite, something different, that is the ultimate statement of Rashi. Unkelus, you are totally off here in this case. Sometimes Rashi says, he quotes Unkelus, And then he says, V'ani oimer, or he says another pshat, which means, okay, unkelis, okay, nice pshat. I'll give you some credit. I'll cut you some slack, but I got a better pshat, or another pshat. Sometimes Rashi says, kitargumoi, which means, unkelis, you're on the right track. You're on the right, no, this is even better. You're on the right track. The concept is correct, but the way you translated the concept is not correct. We've had that many times. Unkelis, you said an idea, and the concept is brilliant, and it is correct. But the way you got there, the way you translated the words to bring out this concept, that you got wrong. But at least the concept you got right. We had that a couple of times. And then Rashi, sometimes he just says, kitargumo. Why? I don't know. Just say nothing. Because normally with Rashi, has nothing to disagree with. Rashi just ignores. He says, yeah, but Rashi's silence sometimes means I agree. Sometimes Rashi emphasizes the fact that I'm impressed. Onkelis, I am impressed. You got it right this time. This Rashi is one of a kind. It's mamish, one of a kind. You don't even find this anywhere in the whole, I don't even know how often you can find the Rashi. Where not only does Rashi agree with, does he say kitargumai, he actually quotes the Targum, and then he even translates the Targum. This is unheard of. I'm telling you, this is unheard of. Rashi sometimes will say kitargumai, period. Sometimes he'll say kitargumo, he'll quote in his parish, he won't say kitargumo, he'll just quote the Targum. Here he says kitargumo, and then he actually quotes the exact words of the Targum, and then he goes over the top, triple, where he actually translates the Aramaic into Hebrew. This is unprecedented to do such a thing. To say the word kitargumo, that's not a normal thing to do. Number two, to actually quote the Targum literally, and then to translate the Targum. You show me somewhere else. In Chamisha Chum Shei Torah, you'll probably find a few places, but not many. If you count them on. Es the Mevorchim, the people who bless, the people, the human beings. Es, yos means those who bless. What is the definition of bracha? V'nosata, you shall present. Es habracha, blessing. Do you know what blessing is? Blessing is not an object. It's not food. It's not medicine. It's not knowledge. It's not money. It's not a beautiful home. It's not a beautiful family and children. You know what blessing is? Human beings. Yos, those people, mivorchaya, who give, say out, express words of blessing. Es hamivorchim. These people are going to stand between Har Grizim and Har Evil, and they're going to turn to Har Grizim, and they're going to issue words of blessing. What are the words of blessing? Who cares? It doesn't even make a difference what they say. It doesn't make a difference if they say you're going to be a millionaire. They say you're going to have the wonderful children. You're going to live forever. It doesn't make a difference. That's not blessing. The blessing is the fact that you have a friend, a chaver. You have a person that has a positive attitude, who radiates with Yira Shemayim and his desire that you should succeed. That is the bracha right there, and that's it. What he says, if it comes true, does not come true, it's not up to him. It's up to Hashem. It'll happen whether he gives the bracha, doesn't give the bracha. Hashem runs the world anyway. There are many people who never went to Chaim Kanievsky, and they have a lot of blessing. And there are many people who went to Chaim Kanievsky, and they have a very difficult life. Just because he says boo doesn't mean the whole world's going to turn over. Buah. Doesn't mean that. Okay, doesn't mean that. But what's the bracha? The bracha is you have someone to go to. You have someone to go to make you feel good, that says those words. That's bracha. There's a person that you feel that he's on your team. He's working for you. The bracha is es hamivorchim. There are people in this world who seek your good and welfare, to be in a community, to be in a family, to be in an environment of people who want you to succeed. Whether you will succeed, you won't succeed.
Different story.
Different story. And even if you fail, even if you fail miserably, the fact you have fans, that's a bracha. You have fans. You go to a baseball game. Hey, you can't even go anywhere because of Corona, this and that. Go to the World Series. Pack Yankees World Series. You can't get one seat. You go get a seat. Cost you have to scalp illegally a ticket. Cost you a small fortune.
And the people are going wild.
And they're going wild with sugar. And the Yankees lose.
They know you're gonna come
and they lose. It doesn't matter. The fans, the excitement of fans rooting for you.
It's not if you win or you lose, it's how you play the game.
No.
That's
brach, yos mivarchaya. And Rachmana Litzan the other way around. You know what klala is? Klala is the people, Rashi doesn't even want to say those words, say it out. You have an environment where you have everything you can want. The best health, the best parnasa, the best children, but it's a nasty environment. And people are just looking for you to fail. They can't wait. They can't wait for you to make a mistake, to slip up, and to be a miserable embarrassment. You got everything. You have a salary, and you have covered. Ha, 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 ha. Can't wait. Can't wait to see your downfall. They stand there and they curse you. That's klala. You can have everything, but if your environment is people who, the yosni kalalaya, the people who want to curse you, that is called re'ei nosati lefnechem hayam bracha, called Rashi. It's mamish, a Rashi and chumash, the true definition of bracha and klala, it's people, it's attitude. Okay, I want to go to another short idea. This idea, we had this discussion. I really get a sitter. I'll do it without a sitter for now. I'll just try to do it from memory. As an introduction, okay, this is a controversial idea. I believe I heard this from I heard this in the name of Rav Hutner, Zeche Tzarek Levracha. Okay, I never saw Rav Hutner. I probably would have not have survived the day if I did. What?
We survived.
I heard this about the nice man, Baruch Hashem. Okay. I know his Talmid.
He moved down the block from me, actually.
Okay, but I heard this was a very profound idea from Rav Hutner, Zeche Tzadik Levracha. And Rav Hutner, here's the question. We know that if you go mayor, I told this to mayor, we started talking about this yesterday. And this is an introduction to something in the parasha, which really I find this to be very, very amazing. I never really appreciated this. Even though we spend a lot of time learning these in Yanim, but it's mamish in the parasha. I think it's mamish in the parasha. If Meir was not, we'll see his reaction now. We'll put him on the spot. If you come in contact with a person who knows Kol HaTorah Kula, according to many Achrayim, the Bach, we're talking about making the bracha of Shecholak Mechachmaso Liyureyav. It's a bracha in the siddur, after a special bracha, a person who sees a Talmud Chacham of note, you make a bracha that shecholak, here it is, it's in the art scroll siddur. Baruch atah Hashem lekeinu melech ha'olam, shenosan, no, I'm the wrong one, where is the bracha? Shecholak mechochmaso li'reyav. You have cholak, you've given out, allotted a portion of your wisdom to those who fear you. Liyureyav.
It should be the Rav said that to Rav Yisrael Zev Guster.
He said upon him that he made that bracha. Now, if you look in this Svarim, I was actually learning this recently, there's a big, big debate today, can you really make this bracha? There are poskim that say that today no one in the world qualifies to make this bracha. It seems pretty clear that the vast majority of Achronim disagree. Whoever in the generation is considered to be the best that we got does qualify to make the bracha. There are many different opinions and rules. Some say that he has to also be an expert. A lot of the Achareim talk about this, not only in Torah Sanigle, in Torah Sanistor. So if you have a person, a Litvak, who knows Shas, who plays him literally on his fingertips, but he never broke the binding of the Zohar. He never learned Zohar. Zohar. Let's say a person who knows can literally quote for you Baal Peh inside out, Shas Upoiskin, but does not know, cannot read for you a Zohar. Anything about Taras HaNistar, you can't make a bracha on it. Do we accept that halacha? I have no idea. It's a little whatever. Everyone has different opinion on this. But that's the fact. The fact is, on a Talmud Chacham, you make a bracha shecholak mechachmaso liyareyav. Let's say you come in contact with a Nobel Prize winner, a Jew, a Gentile. And we're talking about the real deal. Okay, today the Nobel Prize has been watered down quite a bit. If you can give Arafat the Nobel Prize for peace, it says a lot. It used to be, you got some YouTube videos of the old-fashioned Nobel Prize winners in the sciences. These people, just listening to them, you're not dealing with ordinary human beings. You're dealing with brilliant, brilliant people. Go on, type in YouTube, Nobel Prize winners, and see some of the ceremonies, see some of the olden days. Today, they give a Nobel Prize to the best person they can find. When you listen to them, you talk to them, they don't make much of an impression. Okay, who am I to say? Listen, they're geniuses, obviously, they've contributed to this world in very great ways. All right, but certainly years ago, it was a different caliber. So if you see someone like that, what bracha do you make on him? A different bracha. Shenosan. Hashem has given mechochmasai lebasar vadam. When you see a Gentile who is an accepted genius and has wisdom that is beyond belief, beyond the common man, you make a bracha, not shecholak, but shenosan. Shenosan mechochmasai from his wisdom lebasar vadam to a human being. Okay? So have two different blessings. On a Talmud Chacham, you make the bracha shecholak nichvoidoy lebasar v'dam. Cholak. On a Chacham from the Umos Ha'olam, you make a bracha liyareyav. Two changes. On a Talmud Chacham, you make a bracha shecholak, not shenosan, and not lebasar v'dam, but liyareyav. On a Gentile in the Umos Ha'olam, you make the bracha shenosan. Not shecholak, lebosor vodam. Two very, very different blessings. Here's the question. What happens if Einstein would walk in right now? Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein is acknowledged as being from the greatest minds of our times. Whatever it was. Einstein is not acknowledged in the Beis Medrash as being the biggest Talmud Chacham. He is world-renowned, genius, without any dispute. No one can dare question that. No question about that. But Einstein is not known to be from the Yireyav. He wasn't observant. He wasn't a Shomer Shabbos. He wasn't. He didn't put on tefillin. He didn't wear tzitzis. He didn't eat kosher. He didn't have the best midos, we understand.
But he believed in God.
Okay, you believe in God. But that's not what's called liyurei. Hashem gave tayag mitzvos. Hashem gave klal yishol tayag mitzvos. So it's very good. No one's coming to this. No one's not here to judge. Who would any dear judge anyone else? Only Hashem can judge. But, on a scale of 1 to 10, you can't go tell me that he's in the category liyurei of when you're not Shomer Shabbos. Okay? You're not observing. Is it his fault? That's none of our business whose fault it is. No one's coming to pass judgment. But the bottom line is, he's not a Shomer Shabbos. So do you make the brach on him? Shecholak, mechachmaso liyareyav? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, nothing to talk about. So should we make the other bracha? Shenosan, mechachmaso lebosar v'dam? So I would say, why not? He's no different than a Gentile. He has knowledge that no one else can comprehend. And of Meir, he takas said, you should, Meir Paskin, you should make the bracha on Einstein of Shenosan Mechachmasoi Libosar Vadam. So I believe it was Rav Kuttner. What? No! The Ray of is solely for a Talmud Chacham. You can't call Einstein, that's what we just said. So of, I believe it's said over in the name of Rav Chutner, that on Einstein you don't make a bracha, period. Zero.
On
Einstein. Because he's Jewish. He's Jewish. And therefore, the goal for Einstein is Liyareyev. He's a failure. It's not his fault. I'm a failure. Everyone's a failure. It's not his fault. But a Jew is on a different track. A Jew is on a track to be from those he was at Har Sinai. This is not our discussion. Let's not go into
it. The guy reaches the zenith of his.
It's a different track. This is an idea, which I have no doubt it's a controversial idea.
Einstein didn't reach the zenith.
What?
Einstein did not.
He's on the wrong track. He's on the wrong track. He's on the wrong track. I have no doubt in my mind that this is a controversial idea. And Rav Kuna, I believe this mamash fits 100% with the whole persona, okay, the Weltanschauung of Rav Chutner, his whole worldview of Jew and Goy. Einstein is a Yid. Einstein, his tafkid is to be from the Yireyev. Just because from you doesn't mean you can't be Einstein. You can be Yireyev and you can be Einstein. Okay, there are many tell me the chacham and spectacular knowledge of the sciences, but you're on the wrong track. The track for a Gentile is she nosan mechochmosoy lebosar v'dam.
No,
Liyareyev. For a guy, a Gentile.
You're saying a
guy. No, she nosan. A goy gets shenosan.
Okay.
A goy's track is shenosan mechachmosoy lebosor vodom.
Right.
A Jew's track is shecholak mechachmosoy liyareyav. It's a different track. If Einstein goes on the wrong, he puts his train on the wrong track, and he reaches the end of the, he doesn't get a bracha. You're in the wrong place. You've reached the wrong destination. You're in the wrong place. Einstein, there is no bracha for you. This is not what you're supposed to be. It's true. It's a beautiful thing to accomplish in the sciences and to reveal to the world all of this incredible chachma. No one's taking away one iota of the benefit and the shevach and the greatness of the person. But that's not what the bracha is for. The bracha for a Jew is a one-track bracha. Liyareyev, shecholak. For a guy, the bracha is shenosan lebosar v'dam. Rav Chutna says, there is no blessing for Einstein. If you meet Einstein, you don't make a bracha. If you meet the Gadol Hadar, whoever it may be, you make the bracha shecholak, liyareyev. If you meet a genius from the Umay Sa'olam, a Nobel Prize winner, you make the bracha b'shemu malchus shenosan mechachmosoi lebosar v'dam. But there's no in between. This is what they say over the name of Rav Chutner. Now, some people love this idea. I personally find this idea very powerful. Some people are a little thrown off by it. They're thrown off by this type of idea. Why should Einstein be any different than the boss of Adam? And Shenosan Mechachmoso. Okay, it's a good topic of conversation,
so
this idea.
Jewish woke.
What?
It's a Jewish woke.
A Jewish woke? Now, why am I telling this to you? Why am I telling this to you? Let's go make believe we're back in high school and we're learning with Daf Yomi Shir, and let's discuss some basic halachas, which this week's parasha. Let's do just the basic halacha. A person today, okay, 2021, l'misporam, you go into Glockmart, and I want you to tell the butcher there, I want the whole animal. For Shabbos, I don't just want, you know, some this piece of meat and that, I don't even know what they will call the part. I want the whole animal. Give me the whole animal. You want the whole animal? Okay, here's the whole animal. What is the halacha? According to the letter of the law,
What's the
halacha is, you take home the whole animal, it's kashered, they took out the chelev and the dam, you can't eat it. there's something called matnois kahuna. Bizman hazeh. Even bizman hazeh. We don't do this for some reason. Whatever the reasons are, they do. They don't do it. Gansa maisa. You have an animal, a cow, that's been slaughtered. It's on your dining room table, Thanksgiving dinner. Not a turkey. You have a whole cow, right? You can't just eat the whole animal. In the Torah it says, the Torah HaKadosh says, whenever you have basar, you first have to give the Kohen a gift. Chulin. We're talking about an animal of chulin. You have to give him the zeroya, the lechayayim, and the keva. What is the zeroya? It's the leg. The right lower portion of the leg. It's not so big. The right lower portion, the lower portion. I think I'm not mistaken.
What's the lower portion? The knee down?
So I'm not exactly even sure what it is. What an amaritza, yeah. Okay.
So what do they do with the korban pesach?
Okay, no, that's an exception. That's a korban. That's an exception. That's an exception. Korban pesach is an exception. Only talking chulin. We're talking only about chulin. Chulin. Not the korban pesach is different. Chulin, animal of chulin, here in America. Here in America. The zeraya. What's the zeraya? The certain part of the animal. It's a leg, the front part of the leg. It's not such a big piece.
The right arm. The right arm.
Yeah. So that's the front of the animal. It's not the leg. The leg is much thicker. That part, it's a lot more meat than that part. That's called a shoik. That's the shoik. The zeraya is the front, the right side, whatever it is. Okay, whatever. Yes, the butcher to define exactly what it is. The keva. The keva. What's the keva? The stomach. The stomach today, I believe, they don't give anyone. Even the goyim, if I'm not mistaken, the keva becomes dog food. It's not healthy. There's bacteria. They don't want to get involved with it either. They throw in the garbage. They don't throw in the garbage. They use it for something. So the keva, but you're supposed to really give the keva, the stomach, it's supposed to be a delicacy. You have to prepare it the right way. I imagine in America it's not worth the time and effort, the money to prepare it in order to make it into a delicacy. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but the keva. Right, Messi will see, we'll tell you in more detail. Fine.
50 years ago they ate.
50 years, right, but not today. Today the keva is not eaten, it's, I don't think it's sold in the market, period. Whatever it is. And then there's what's called the lichoyayim, which we like to translate as the cheeks. The cheek. That's not what it means. The lichoyayim means the jaw, the lower jaw, which basically means the entire tongue. Go into Glatmark, you buy a tongue, it costs somewhere between, I don't know for sure, $50 and $80. Buy a tongue. Go into Glatmark, into Moshe's, into Pomegranate, wherever you shop for meat, and go buy a whole tongue. It's a big, heavy piece. It's a lot of money. It's about $50, even $100. A big chunk, the whole tongue. Do you know that according to the halacha, that is supposed to be given to the Kohen for free? Matnos kahuna. Every single animal, they're supposed to get that for free. Why don't we do a bisman hazeh? There's really no good answer. They wanted to have a couple of years ago, they had a big meeting in the OU. All the rabbanim, someone from Eretz Yisrael came, demanded, what's going on? This is the halacha, how come you're ignoring the halacha? So in Eretz Yisrael, the excuse is that if we would give away the tongue of every single animal for free to the Kohanim, we would go out of business. The whole industry would be shut down. So there's an agreement that the Kohanim are moichel. They get a gift. They pay them a few hundred dollars. And Eretz Yisrael, the Bezdin Tzedek of Yerushalayim, has a shtar, and they have a Kohen who represents all of the Kohanim. He signs the shtar. He's moichel, and they give him a few hundred dollars. Shalom al Yisrael. That was done maybe 300 years ago. They still do that. They still actually do that today. They still do this today. That there's Kohanim who represent all of the Kohanim, supposedly, and they're Moichel, the Matnois Kahuna, so that Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa. Because if they wouldn't do that, there wouldn't be meat for anyone. Okay, we would be in a lot of trouble. All right. So the question is, we live in a modern world, things should be revised, there should be more of an acknowledgement, there should be something be done about this, because mamash a violation of halacha. What are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me there are no kohanim today? That's a pretty big insult. To tell someone, yeah, you're a kohen to get the first aliyah, But you're not a kohen to get the tongue.
Does it possible or is it just a chiyuv that you owe money?
No, it does. It's not tevel. It's not tevel.
So you owe money to the kohen.
Okay, but money is money, you know. Gezel is gezel. There's no klinikite. This is the klinikite.
If you're blocking with the guy and the animal,
doesn't make a difference.
Doesn't make a difference.
Doesn't make a difference.
They do that for something else.
Other things that for bechor. Bechor makes a difference. Bechor. So all right, it is what it is. But that's the halach. Me'ikar hadin, when you slaughter chulin, what do? You give the koyein the zeroya chulin. Today it applies bizman hazeh. Applies, there's no difference. It applies in chutz liaretz, bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam, bizman shein beis in the shkayam. This is a big deal. I have a whole total, a whole write up on the meeting in the OU with all the rabbanim, all, you know, the whole give and take, the whole, nothing has changed. Okay, it's all the same. Nothing came out of that. Not so poshut. How do you deal with this? The zeroyal lechayim, but that's the halacha. Okay, let's put that aside. Question. Let's go now to the time of Zman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYekayim. Same exact animal. Gilgal. Same exact animal. Exactly the same animal. And I shech the animal as a carbon shlamim. A carbon shlamim. Right? What do you do with a carbon shlamim? You take the blood. You collect and you do zrik on the Mizbeach. You take the chelev. The kidneys, the diaphragm, the chalavim, you burn it on the mizbeach, and you're done. You're done. And now it's time to eat. Now it's time to sit down and have a dinner. The hide of the animal goes, to the owner of the animal. He gets to keep the hide. He gets to keep the leather, which is very valuable. That goes to the owner of the animal, if I'm not mistaken. Owner of the animal. And now the meat. We have a whole animal to eat. What about the zeroya, the lechayayim v'akeva? No, you eat it. Tongue. It's kachem. It's holy. You have to eat it inside. You do shalayim. And you have a time limit. 2 days and the night in between. It's holy. What about the kohen? Oh, you give him the chozeh, the shoik. He gets even more. When it's a carbon shlamim, you give him the chest, whatever that means. Okay, there's obviously, I don't know anything about meat, but obviously in the animal, there's a section of the animal called the chozeh, which is a nice chunk of meat, that goes to the kohen. He has to eat it in tahara. It's kodesh. This is a carbon shalomim. He brings it home to his family for dinner. Okay, they eat the chozeh. And the shoik, not the zeroya, not the front, the back, on the right side, which is a big chunk of meat. So if you bring the animal as chulin here in America, this animal, what does your local kohen get? The zeroya, the lichayayim, the akeva. If I take this animal and I get on a plane, I buy a ticket for me, and next to me, I buy the animal. I buy animal goes first class, and I sit economy. Covered for the kachim. Give honor to the kachim. The kachim goes first class. We come there. You know, the steward comes and, you know, gives, what would you like? Give the animal some wine. You know, what's your favorite program on television? What shir do you want to hear? To the animal. You come to Yerushalayim. You bring to the kohen. You slaughter it. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. What do you give the kohen? You give the kohen the chozeh v'shoik. So the kohen always comes out ahead. He's always getting something from your animal. Always getting something. Now this week's parsha, we learn something amazing. We have an animal that is slated to be a korban. It's supposed to go on the mizbeach. I was makdish the animal. I gave it full kedusha. I put it on the mizbeach. Ready to go, all ready to go. All systems go. And then, guess what happens? On the way to the Beis HaMikdash, the animal slips and breaks a leg. So the animal now has a blemish. And the halacha is, you're not allowed to offer an animal that has a blemish on the Mizbeach. All right, over. So what is the halacha? This week's parasha, you take the animal, you have to redeem it. How much does this animal cost? $1,000, okay? Take out of your pocket $1,000. I want to transfer the sanctity of this animal on the cash, on the $1,000. With the $1,000, you go and you purchase a replacement. A replacement, and you bring the replacement as a carbon. This animal, no. Come home with me, I'll buy you another ticket. Not first class anymore, because now you're no longer sacred. I've redeemed you. And we'll get for you a wheelchair, they'll come, you come to the airport, they'll come, we'll bring you onto the plane, economy, we'll strap you in, put on a mask, okay?
And there is some Kedusha still.
Residual Kedusha. When you take it back home to America, you can't work with it, you can't share its wool, you can't sell it in the market. The only thing you can do with it is slaughter it and eat it for dinner. No, so I'll wait for Thanksgiving. I'll wait for Thanksgiving, we'll eat it. Comes Thanksgiving, and we slaughter the animal. So, can we lose place? The pasuk here says, Rashi makes a drasha, and it tells you all the halachas, and Rashi's medayim in the pasuk. Let me see if I can find it over here. The pasuk says, when you slaughter it, we have a lot of rules of what you do, all the different rules, and it says you can eat it, hatam v'hatar, lufi shabam v'kach kardashim, shem v'chem v'bosar, okay? Katzi v'chayol, it says here that you shall eat it like a tzvi and an ayol. Now, I'll get into all the details. What's the purpose of the Torah comparing this animal that was kodesh and developed blemish and now was redeemed? Why did it compare it to a tzvi and an ayol, two different wild animals? Rashi, lepoitron, to exempt the animal min hazroya v'halechoyayim v'hakeva. You don't have to give the gifts to the kohen from this animal. Now this is shocking. Never occurred to me this. It's a shocking thing. If I have an animal, under ordinary circumstances,
you have to give.
I'm going to be giving the kohen something very significant one way or another. If I slaughter it as chulin, I give him a massive chunk of meat. I give him the zeraya, the lechayayim, and the akeva. Here it is for you. Give you a $200 gift. If I bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and offer it as a korban shlamim, I eat all the meat. I bring my whole family. My whole family comes. We sit down and we devour the animal. But you got to give a gift to the Kohen. You give him the chozeh v'shoik, which is also a very significant gift. But if the animal was meant to be a korban, and then it develops a blemish, and then I take out $1,000 and I redeem it, and I buy a replacement, and this animal I take back with me to America, and it's sitting around my house, walking around, and now my family comes over for Thanksgiving, and we slaughter the animal, and we sit down to eat the animal. They say, what are you doing? How come we're eating tongue? How could we eat tongue? The tongue goes to the Kohen. No, you don't understand. This animal was supposed to be a carbon. It got a blemish. I redeemed it. So Rashi says, it's compared to a tzvi v'ayol, l'poitron min hazeroya v'halechoyayim v'akeva. So the Kohen gets nothing. This is a cash cow. A cash cow. Kula revach. We set it up to get into an end. Over here, these people who go to jail, they hire someone to bump into them. You pay someone to damage the car, so they can send the car to the body shop, and they can cash in on the insurance a lot more than the damage. Yeah, they do crazy things. That's exactly what's happening over here. The animal here gets a blemish, and now that it gets a blemish, you profit. If it didn't get a blemish, I would have to give away the zrova v'halechayim v'akeva. If it was chulin, if it's kodesh, I give the chazev v'shoik. But now that the animal got into an accident and I redeemed it, I bought a replacement, and now I'm going to eat the animal, now I don't have to give anything to the Kohen. I get the whole thing for myself. I profit a good 200, whatever it is.
Can you replace it?
What?
Can you replace it with no money?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No way. 100% possible.
It would be a loophole.
It has to, no, you know, if you deliberately blemish it, that's one of the worst averos. So loisase, it happened by itself. It got into an accident by itself. My son in Hashemayim, and now I can't offer it on the mizbeach as a blemish, so I have to redeem it. The replacement money goes to bring a new carbon. This time I take home. The next time we have a family get together and I need an animal, I got an animal ready to go. I slaughter the animal, I get to keep the whole animal. Wow, look at that. Hashem was mezakeh me. Prophet, does that make any sense to you? How could that be? How could it be that I'm gaining profit in this animal? If it was a carbon, I would give the chazeh v'shoik. If it's chulin, it's the zroiva halich chayayim v'akeiva. And now, my lucky day, the carbon got a blemish, it broke a leg. I take it home, I get to make money out of this.
Well, you have a steer at home, right? You want to bring it to the base of Mikdash, right? So once you designate it, it becomes holy.
Correct.
You can't redeem it instead of transporting
it. No,
cash.
No, you cannot. Only grain, only mice, you can redeem it. Only grain. Not an animal. An animal is impossible. No such thing. How could this be? So you know the answer is, this really puts us in perspective. In this situation, you think you won? You really think you won?
The other animal that you gave,
the whole, that becomes regular carbon. Regular, whatever the chazer shok. But now I take home the animal. I'm not losing money. Anyway, I'm going to have a Thanksgiving dinner in a couple of weeks. So anyway, I was planning to go to the store and buy an animal for my family. I'm not losing anything. I had this animal set aside for a carbon. It got a blemish. So I can't bring this animal, so I redeem it. I replace it. I take the animal over. I let it sit around. And when I need to eat dinner, so now I don't have to go to the store. I already have an animal ready to go. I'm not losing any money. Anyway, I would have bought an animal. And yet, I'm profiting. I come out ahead. How could that be? It sounds like something you do in America. It sounds like some scam in America. Something a tax lawyer will tell you to go. A kunz, how to avoid paying taxes. No? Doesn't it sound like something a little strange? So you know what the answer is? Because we got it all wrong. We got it all wrong. You're the biggest loser in this case. Because if you don't have the zechus to give, you're a loser. The attitude is all wrong. The fact that I have an opportunity, a mitzvah, gadol mitzvah v'yoseh, mimi she'eina mitzvah v'yoseh, the fact that I have an opportunity to give, that's a home run. If I'm having Thanksgiving dinner, I have the zeroya, the lechayah, and the akeva. Wow, home run. I have an opportunity to mekayim a mitzvah to give to the kohen. If I bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, it's win-win. It's a carbon, and I also am going to give to the kohen. I'm going to give him the chazev v'shoik. Now, you're the biggest loser. You know why you're the biggest loser? Because on your dining room table, you have the whole animal for yourself. That's not a life. A life, that's a selfish life. To take everything for yourself and have no opportunity to give, you're a loser. You're the biggest loser. What?
He can voluntarily give.
You're right. Gadol mitzvah v'oise mimi she'enoi mitzvah v'oise. Also, you know, it's embarrassing to the kohen. You tell the kohen, I hear it. Tell the kohen, you know, I'll give you charity. It's much more. If you're giving him what he's entitled to, it's his right. You give him the zeroya v'halechayim v'akeva. You know, I'm not chayef to give it to you. I'll do you a favor. I'll give you some charity. You poor guy. You can't afford to put some food on your table. Here, I'll give you some charity. It's a bezoyin. That's not called giving. It's giving. Yeah, you're giving. They'll take it. Don't worry, they'll take it. It's giving. But it's not a dignified giving. So you're a loser.
But why should your requirement be canceled out? Is there any reason why?
So that's where we come back to with the story with Rav Chutner. So Taka, why is it like that? Why is it like that? Because like this is exactly the type of idea. There are two tracks in life. There is the track of Shenosan Michochmoso Lebosar Vidam, and this Shenosan. Which track are you on? What happens if you're in the middle? You're an Einstein. You're a Jew, but you're on the wrong track. Not on the wrong track, whatever. You understand what I mean. I'm using extreme language. You understand what I mean? Nishtahi, nishtaher, you lose. You lose. Okay, that's what comes out. Here you are. If you're chulin, you win. Your tafkid is to go give the zeraya vehalicha yayim yakeva. If you're on the track of kodesh, of shecholak mechachmasa liyareyav, you win. You go to the Beis HaMikdash, you give the kohen the chazev v'shoik. You're a balmon? You're really kodesh. You're kodesh. You're from the team of the yareyav. And now, somehow you're on the wrong track. You're not a Shomer Shabbos. No, gewaldik. I have a delicious meal. I'm going to make a bracha. I'm going to make brachas hamazon. It's good. But you lose. There's no bracha to make on Einstein, any bracha. There's nothing to give. There's nothing to give here. Not the Zor L'Choyam V'Akeva and not the Chosev V'Shoik. The same type of idea. You give nothing. Nothing. Einstein, you have two tracks. This one has a bracha, and this one has a bracha. And let's say you all mixed up. Nothing. You have chulin and kachin. This you give and this you give. Let's say you get all messed up in the middle. Nothing. Exactly. It's the same exact idea. And what's the hashkafa of the idea? The hashkafa is... It's a chaval. They go two different ideas here, but it's a chaval. It's a loss. You gotta in life have focus. You gotta have a derech. You start a little here, a little there. They always say a little of everything adds up to a lot of nothing. And that's what happens here. You want this, you want this, you want this. At the end of the day, what do you got? Nothing. What do you mean I got nothing? I got everything. I got the whole animal for myself. You got nothing. You lost an opportunity to give. So even though you got everything for yourself, really you got nothing. Yeah.
I think you can say the reason why you make a broke on these two people is because they reach their potential.
Okay, it's the same
that's
idea.
The reason why. So a yid who we say in the Chumash, that the guy will praise us for our chachma in Torah. It's interesting. Not for our chachma in mathematics, right. Not for our chachma in
right,
science.
Right, right. You have a different mission. Nothing is wrong with mathematics and science
right.
And the l'chulu. But it's not your mission. Your mission is different. In the process, you'll achieve and you can accomplish. No one's taking away from that, chas v'shalom. But it's still not your, it's not your mission. All right. That's the idea. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for listening. All the best, everyone. Be well. Good Shabbos. Mevarchen. Take care.
Amen.